finally, beloved, excuse me, I jumped ahead. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Fill us, Jesus, with your spirit. Send us, Jesus, with your power. I pray, God, that you would speak through me, and I pray that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. Amen. So here we are. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And I find that this time of year, things begin to feel a bit more bizarre than usual in our culture. First, with the holiday of Thanksgiving, which is supposed to be a time where we give thanks, where we practice gratitude, which is good, right? But the messages that we really hear in the culture are, don't stay thankful for too long, because then you'll forget how much you need to go out and buy things. Because being thankful doesn't create the emptiness we need inside to go out and get stuff, to get more and more. So the Friday after Thanksgiving, before the sun comes up upon the horizon, the gates are opened for the greed to run free, and people go wild. Buy, 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 get to the sales, get more for Christmas, and let's remember little baby Jesus in the manger, and Santa is there right beside him, giving him gifts as he lay down in his hay, eating cookies together, Santa and Jesus, in the hay with a space heater in the barn. That's right, that's right. Isn't that how the story goes? Or something like that. But this confusion, it's bizarre, but these things somehow start to meld together around this time of year. The season becomes bizarre, I think, because it has to. Because our culture has to smush its capitalistic and consumeristic agenda into our stories and into our lives, no matter what. The underpinnings of our American empire, the underpinnings of capitalism, like greed and materialism and consumerism, this stuff has to keep going, especially this time of year, in order for our market economy to thrive. The U.S. consumes more than half of the world's resources, and nearly 40% of all goods retailed annually are sold during the 4 weeks between Thanksgiving and December 25th. Thanksgiving and Christmas must be co-opted by the empire, and the stories then get mixed up so that somehow Jesus becomes Santa and Thanksgiving holiday becomes no time for thanks, let me get more holiday. But this season is more than just bizarre and confusing. It's also a season for many of us, many people, that is anxiety-producing and very stressful. The anxiety and stress is not unrelated to the consumerism and materialism that is driving us and driving our anxiety, but there are other layers There are other things going on. The anxiety of the pressure, for example, to be with family and to be happy in our family. There is a pressure. All the messages we receive that we need to be happy in our family. We're all going to be happy together this year. That is happening also. The reality, however, for many people, most people, is that family is complicated. Sometimes those relationships are painful and challenging. Some people are estranged from family and are not in communication with family. Some have lost family to death in the last year or so. And so the holidays become a dreaded time, a lonely time. Loneliness is heightened around this time of year because there's so much pressure to feel happiness, but the reality is that in our lives are so much more complex and messy than any ideal family picture you will see depicted in commercials or through the media. And students, those who are in school, the teachers too, we have finals this time of year. The stresses are high for finishing projects. A survey of over 2,000 Americans on their emotional state during the holidays indicated that the majority of Americans feel overwhelmingly or moderately stressed during the holidays. That's the reality we're in, and we're entering into that season. This is the real stuff of our lives. This is not an easy season for most people. But the American empire, with its capitalistic goals, thrives on our anxiety and stress, and it sends messages to us all the time. The messages are like this: join in to the immensity of it all. Just let the stress and the busyness of the season drive you through it. Stress is the adrenaline that will get you through. And just deny the pain and loneliness along the way. Be a good consumer. Get greedy. Buy more, regardless of the harm you will do to yourself or to the earth. Buy more will soothe your pain. And then when things get weird and hard with your family, just pretend. Pretend to be happy and get along. Pretense is the balm for difficult relationships. These are the messages. Even if we know they're not true, we don't believe in them, that sermon is on repeat in our culture. All the time. All the time. And I believe that we must get clear about that messaging if especially we are to receive and hear the alternative message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a very different gospel than the gospel of the American empire. If you're like me, especially around this time of year, I feel more and more desperate to hear that alternative gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in my life. Because there is something else for us to focus on. There is a way to work with and soften our anxiety. There is a way to be with each other in the loneliness and pain of this time. And remember that the good news of Jesus Christ is the good news for the poor. It's good news for those who are sick and lonely. It's good news for those who know that we are in a sick system. It's good news for those of us who know we need to be set free and we are longing for an alternative way where the vision of justice and the flourishing of all life is what we're working toward. We're longing for that. If you're longing for that, that's good. That's good. So what I want to offer are three counterpoints to the American Empire sermon. And now, by the way, you can say that Pastor Katie became a Baptist in the pulpit today with her three-point sermon. I have 3 points today. 3 points. You can even memorize these. There's a section in your bulletin for taking notes. You can write these notes down and keep them with you throughout the season. This is Baptist-y today. So the 3 points. These 3 points are to counter the gospel of the American empire. We can practice these. They are about resistance. They are about going through the season differently as followers of Jesus Christ. And I'm drawing these points from our scripture reading this morning. So they are coming from Paul, really. Here they are. Number one. I'm going to say all three, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about each. Number one, counter the immensity with Emmanuel. Counter the immensity with Emmanuel. That's number one. Number two, counter greed with gratitude. Counter greed with gratitude. Number three, counter pretense with the presence of God's peace. Do you like that? Like that, like that. I worked a lot on that. No, just, okay. Counter pretense with the presence of God's peace. So number one, counter immensity with Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. God is with us. Or as Paul says, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Our culture wants us to stay overwhelmed with the immensity of injustice, the immensity of what we have to do to be good, to succeed. You're to stay overwhelmed with the immensity of it all. The answer from our culture is to join the stress, join the busyness. Paul makes an alternative claim. The Lord is near. Emmanuel. That's not God will be near or will be with us. It's the Lord is near. Now, in the midst of this life, in the midst of all that we're in, God is here. There is nowhere we can go where God is not. God is always looking for us, wanting to give us the reign of God. What might it do to us in this season if we cultivated an awareness of Emmanuel? How would that shift our outlook and approach in our relationships if we were to ask ourselves, where is God present here? How is God leading and longing and showing us the way right now to counter the immensity of the season with Emmanuel, practicing the assurance that God is with us? Number two, counter greed with gratitude. Our culture wants us to nurture greed, to buy more, regardless of what harm that does to you or your neighbor or the earth. But right after Paul proclaims that God is near, Paul says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, in prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, we might think that with thanksgiving was just a little add in there, like boop, boop, with thanksgiving, boom, you know, in this long list of things, because Paul's always like, blah, blah, blah. It's like really long sentences. But that with thanksgiving is really important. It is actually the framework. It's essential. Gratitude to God is to be the whole framework in which we make our needs and our requests known to God. Gratitude is the essential thing there. Did you know that the practice of saying thank you, which Deb Burnham, thank you for bringing that up in our children's time. The practice of saying thank you is actually a technique of resistance to the greed and materialism that we're caught up in. Do you know that? Robin Wall Kimmerer, in her book, Braiding Sweetgrass, says as much. She says this, while expressing gratitude seems innocent enough, it is a revolutionary idea. In a consumer society, contentment is a radical proposition. Recognizing abundance rather than scarcity undermines an economy that thrives by creating unmet desires. Gratitude creates an ethic of fullness, but the economy needs emptiness. Gratitude doesn't send you out shopping to find satisfaction. It comes as a gift rather than a commodity, subverting the foundation of the whole economy. If we all practice gratitude more than just for 5 minutes before we eat turkey on Thanksgiving, if we practiced it a lot together, sharing together individually and in community, giving thanks for the particular gifts of one another, for the particular gifts of the earth, if we did this more often, she's saying that we could subvert the foundations of the American economy. That's a big idea. For example, if I were to give thanks for God's good gift of trees, maybe several times a day, twice a day, the trees that clean our air and teach us lessons about mutual care, I may just begin to treat the trees more respectfully, reflecting on how I might live in a different way to aid their flourishing. Gratitude can change us. It can reorient us, serve as an antidote to greed. we can counter greed with gratitude. It sounds innocent enough, says Kimmerer, but it actually is a radical proposition. Number three, counter pretense with the presence of God's peace. Our culture says just pretend to be happy. Pretend to like your family. Pretend to get along. But no, we've probably all tried this, right? With people in our family. We know there is no real lasting peace or justice through pretense. Paul says, don't worry about anything, and everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul is charging us with prayer. Practice the assurance of Emmanuel. Practice gratitude as the antidote to greed. And then what follows is the gift of the presence of God's peace. Now, this is important. Please hear me right now. In the Bible, God's peace is never the absence of conflict. This is not about a peace that is shallow, where there is no conflict. That is not biblical peace. That is not the way when we hear about God's peace that passes understanding. It is not the absence of conflict. We are talking about a deeper quality of peace, a peace that surpasses understanding. It's a peace that goes back to what we said at the beginning. It comes from the knowledge of Emmanuel, God with us. It is a peace that wraps us in the knowledge of the love of God and that we belong to God. It doesn't take us out of conflict necessarily. In fact, sometimes the peace that God gives us is the peace that empowers us and pushes us into conflict so that we can be in the conflict. And it bolsters our ability to stand firmly in truth that we know. That is the kind of peace we're talking about. The gift of peace is what gave me courage to come out as a queer person. That's the kind of peace. It didn't, in fact, that created more conflict, right? But that's the kind of peace I'm talking about. And I know that each of you know that. You have experienced that kind of peace. Because I see and experience you as, in lots of different ways, people of courage. And I know that your courage is coming from that gift of peace. So think about that. And think about how you want to go into this season receptive to that gift of peace. Because we don't have to pretend to get along. We may even be able to stand a bit more firmly in the midst of a storm or the pain or hurt in difficult relationships because of God's peace. You don't have to pretend to be happy in this season. You may need to grieve this year. I don't know what your situation is. This may be a hard time for you. But having God's peace within you, receiving it, holding it as a gift from God, it makes all the difference. If you need to have difficult conversations with your family, pray for the peace of God to be upon you. If you need to be separated from your family, pray for the peace of God to be upon you and them, to build you up in this time. If you need to grieve, may the peace of God fill you with the knowledge of Emmanuel. I think this peace is the kind of peace that was givered, that's a new word, that was givered to that was givered to Jesus. That's really funny. I think that kind of peace is the peace that covered Jesus, is what I wanted to say, that covered Jesus in his most difficult trials. A peace that allowed him to stand firm in the truth and on the side of justice, even when that created conflict in his relationships. A peace that passes understanding is a gift from God that involves an assurance that you belong to God and that you are held by a deeper love than your family or anyone else can ever give you. That's the kind of peace that I'm talking about. So friends, deep down, I think we all know that the gospel of the American empire will not save us, and it is really not good news. We need to hear again, I think, the good news of Jesus Christ in our lives. It is a gospel that is different from the one preached at you every day in our culture. So my prayer for all of us today and through these coming weeks is that we would create a time in this season, create a time to practice prayer. Carve out 5 minutes at least in the morning, in the evening, in the middle of the day. Hold those 5 minutes as sacred reorienting prayer time. It can be while you're walking or exercising. It can be while you're sitting at home. Light a candle. Pray alone, or better yet, find a partner. Pray with someone else. Make an Advent wreath with us next Saturday and bring those four candles home. And every Sunday, you can create five minutes a space for prayer where you light another candle and have that reorienting time. And when you're doing that, your prayer can incorporate these three counter-resistance prayers to counter the immensity with Emmanuel, counter greed with gratitude, counter pretense with the presence of God's peace. There is a way to work with and soften our anxiety. There is a way that is grounded in remembering who we are and who we're created to be. There is a more humane way. There's a more generous way, a way that resists the dehumanizing and creation-destroying practices of our empire. And so my prayer is for all of us to choose that other way, a way that Jesus is leading and showing us today. Amen. Amen.